When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yep, it's TMZ Verified, the podcast. I'm Wild.
I'm Steph.
I'm Jacob.
I feel like the three of us haven't just been together in a while. Like, welcome back, guys.
Been a bit.
I know. It's like the three musketeers. What else? The three amigos. Salt, Pepper, Spinderella. Or y'all don't know that reference.
I like all those.
My brain just like...
You're like,
I don't even know. I know three people right now.
We got a kick-ass show today.
I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. We got Gianni Paolo, a.k.a. Braden from Power Book 2, was on the show today.
Wasn't he just so fun?
He was. Also, I feel like... Y'all kind of had a little bit of a...
Excuse me?
No? Were you not making good?
Okay.
No? Okay. I don't know.
Was there a little something extra?
I felt like you... Jacob wasn't here. You might have missed it, Jacob, but I felt... Not you, but I... No? Y'all were kind of... No?
I'm like, no comment.
Oh, wow.
All right.
There's nothing.
She's going to decline to comment.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God. You guys are creating actual drama.
We'll let the online...
I'm like, if anything to make them watch the interview, I'm like, maybe. You know. Go listen, maybe. Just kidding.
All right,
just
should we get into some stories, people?
Let's get into
people.
Some stories.
All right, so I got a question, y'all. Have y'all ever felt Jamaican?
No.
Honestly, no.
Because Chet Hanks feels Jamaican every single day, apparently.
Okay.
So Chet Hanks was on Z-Way, on Showtime Z-Way with Z-Way.
Who's the best?
Literally, she's so good, though. Can we get Z-Way dream guest in the, like, situation?
Yeah.
So Z-Way asked him about his infamous patois accent that he used during the 2019 Golden Globe Awards.
Big up the whole island, massive. It's your boy Chetana coming straight from the Golden Globes Awards.
And she asked him if he felt like he needed to apologize to any marginalized communities, and Chet Hanks said no. Well, he actually said social justice warriors can kick rocks.
Oh.
Well, so Chet Hanks is, in addition to that accent, I mean, he also was the creator of White Boy Summer. I mean, he's done a lot of questionable things. And he also, just frankly, used the N-word pretty freely, I would say, in the past. He's blamed it on drug use and things like that. But I mean, really, it's just not acceptable at all. So I think when people saw that he was so unapologetic, everyone was like, what? Come on, she's giving you an opportunity right now just to, you know, say you're sorry.
Right.
But no, it was the complete opposite.
No, he was like, I said it. So
right,
what?
Like that was the time to be like, okay, this is how I really, but nope.
Mm. Yep. What's so interesting about Z-Way and Chet Hanks' relationship is they actually went to Northwestern together.
Yeah, they've been friends forever. Yeah. Like, they're, like, actually close friends. So I think it was definitely a little tongue-in-cheek there. But y'all might be mad at me about this or for this, but I don't know if... I mean, I'm not Jamaican, but I don't know if people are, like, extremely offended by this. Like, I feel like in the community, it's more just, like, Chet Hanks dumb as shit. Like, nobody pays Chet Hanks any mind, but I don't know if, like... I don't know if I've seen, like, genuine outrage about this. But I think that the one thing in the whole interview that, for me, that was like, all right, that's kind of messed up, was when Z-Way asked him if he, like, inspired a generation to start speaking patois. And he said, I think I did kind of make the patois accent a little more trending, I
okay.
guess. And it's like, really, Chester? You,
right.
Not the millions of other people who speak the actual language.
Yeah, it's just you.
Yeah, that was the one thing that I saw. That I thought, like, yeah, that's kind of fucked up, though.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
I mean, listen, however you want to chalk it up, it's cultural appropriation.
It
and
definitely
just
is,
in 2022,
though. Yeah.
Like, that doesn't fly the way they used to.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people are just looking for him to, you know, take some accountability. And
that would have been
know,
a good time.
He's I get what he means by social justice warriors can sometimes kick rocks.
Because some people
it does
be woke.
Get overwhelming.
Yeah, some people
it does
be tripping.
Get too much, but not for things like this.
Yeah.
I don't think
right,
so.
Right. Like, this is not being overdramatic
yes.
at this point.
Chet is a constant reminder, y'all, that the apple sometimes falls very far. Very, very far from the damn tree. Steph, what you got?
Okay, so we know by now that every video of Jack Harlow at this point goes viral. Mm. I don't know what it is about this man. I'm like, he is so cute.
I'm about to say, like, is it his face? Because I feel like girls love Jack
right,
Harlow.
He's the moment.
Yeah,
he's the moment.
He's currently the it girl right now. You know how they say the it girl? It's Jack Harlow. Forget that. It's just Jack Harlow. And there is a video of Emma Chamberlain interviewing him at the Met Gala for Vogue. And they have a little interaction that is going viral all on TikTok right now. And it's basically him saying, love ya, see you in there. And then she goes, love ya, back. And she's just shook. The fact that he said, love ya. She's like, in the video.
I was about to say, that's like a little shocking. Yeah, shit.
Yeah, so I saw this video and I hate to be the bearer of bad news for Emma Chamberlain, but like, he's just a Southern gentleman. He was just saying love you the same way.
Right,
you're like, peace
I feel
out.
Like it was a little cash.
Oh, yeah. No, I feel like Jack Harlow shoots his shot at everybody though. He did the same thing with Sweetie like last year at another award show. Like,
right, I think it's just his personality, but he did go on Jimmy Fallon and he set the record straight and he goes, listen, I say I love you to anyone if I love them. And then he said that he wants to leave it up to interpretation. Everyone has their own little, what is Emma thinking? What is Jack thinking in this clip? Because basically in the clip, she's just like, how I just describe
he's
it.
He's a smooth operator.
Right. Yeah, he really is.
He
guy.
Is kind of smooth, though.
I feel like if he was sitting right here, he'd still be just as smooth.
You're like, if
matter.
He was sitting right here, I'd kiss him.
Oh, I'd be heating up right now.
Oh, Jacob.
Facts.
Yeah, right. No, Jack Harlow's the man right now. He's the man.
But Emma is not the only one he's putting the moves on. Dua Lipa, he has a song titled Dua Lipa, and he went on the... Sorry. He went on the Breakfast Club AM radio and spilled everything we need to know. He FaceTimed Dua Lipa and asked for her permission to have the song, which I thought was very gentlemanlike.
You know, I actually felt really differently about
that. I was gonna say,
if
like,
someone, so just for context, Jack Harlow put out this new album last week and one of the songs is called Dua Lipa. So before he did that, like you said, he FaceTimed her trying to seek her approval. Listen, if you get a FaceTime from someone, they're like, hey, I just made this song about you. It's gonna go out. Is that cool? Are you really in a position to be like, no?
Right,
like,
but he did say that. He didn't want her to be blindsided or kind of creeped out by it. But her response was just, the way he described it was just kind of like, she was like, I mean, it's not my song. Like, you can do whatever. So Jacob's kind of right. Like,
well, it's kind of more like, it's happening.
It's he already made the song.
Right.
Would you be flattered by that, though?
Yeah, I would.
Oh.
but I'm not hurt. So I can't talk because I'm not in that position. She also, I don't know. Her response really is telling, though, because it's kind of like, well, it's already made. What am I going to say? No, it's kind of, he put her on the spot for
sure.
Yeah,
she seemed lukewarm.
Yeah.
I got another relationship I got to talk about. Oh, this one's a little bit more tumultuous, but it's, of you know, I think everyone's been following this Amber Heard versus Johnny Depp.
Definitely more
but
drama
there is a
that.
New romance. Or at least we thought, forming within this tumultuous trial.
Okay.
And it's not, it is between Johnny Depp and his attorney, Camille Vasquez. So a lot of the TikTok investigators, I guess that's what I'm going to call them at this point.
No, TikTok
no,
has been
accurate.
On
it's
it.
Accurate.
Yeah.
It's Dude, accurate.
TikTok and just uncovering the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Not what I thought of when like TikTok came out and everyone's like doing flossing and like dancing.
Yeah.
No, now it's like investigative journalism. So one of the things that was really pointed out was this seemingly romantic relationship between Camille Vasquez and Johnny Depp. And I mean, a lot of people are pointing out during this trial, they've been a little touchy-feely and Johnny Depp's been very gentlemanlike, pulling out chairs, kind of giving, I don't know, suggestive type, but like you said, maybe
like
between like Gianno and Steph.
Uh-huh, yeah, like it just kind of vibes, God, like you get the, you get.
Yeah, exactly. So we did some digging here at TMZ and we talked to people close to Camille, some of her friends, and they told us, listen, I mean, you're there, no question Johnny Depp is being a gentleman here, but that's just kind of the guy who he is. And there's actually no relationship at all between these two, despite what some of the people on TikTok might be speculating. It's just a family type relationship. They got on their legal team where they're very cordial to one another, pulling out chairs for each other. But listen, let's read between the lines here.
Yeah, right.
Let's really look at this. Johnny Depp is being accused of some serious allegations.
Right, like this is not the
domestic
time.
Abuser. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Don't you think it would be a smart tactic if him and his attorney were like, well, you know what? While the jury's looking at you and while you're being watched by millions of people, let's make you look as nice as possible. And let's make sure we kind of got this buddy-buddy relationship. Because, of course, that's going to make people think, oh, well, you know, Johnny Depp actually is a cool guy. And I don't really believe what Amber Heard's saying.
Right.
So that's my take.
That's a good take.
Actually, I was going to say, damn, yeah. Wow,
that's
Jacob?
Probably what is going on, for sure.
He's playing 5D chess.
No, for real.
Come on. I mean,
but he does other things in court, too, that are kind of like, oh, look at Johnny Depp. Like, he was doodling the other day, and it's like, oh, Johnny Depp's cute. Like,
You know what I love about this trial the most is when Amber says something, let's say, for example, she says a quote, and he snickers or laughs or goes, he noted, he goes, I don't know. He's very expressive with his thoughts on this. I have not seen that in a long time in a trial.
And I know we've done stories about like Starbucks and cafes around Los Angeles that are putting out these tip jars, one with Johnny Depp, one with Amber Heard on who you like more. The Johnny Depp one is always filling up more. I just think, we all grew up with Pirates of the Caribbean. We all grew up with these Johnny Depp movies. If these allegations are true, that's awful. That's terrible. But I think a lot of us just don't want to believe it because we're fans.
Right.
So I got a question for you guys. I know we got a big interview coming up.
Yes.
If there's one part, because I wasn't there for it. If there's one part that I could look forward to most, what is it?
I would have to say just learning more about the behind the scenes of being on a show. I think that is something I've never got to ask those questions before. And I think everyone secretly, even when you're like a kid, want to know like, all right, like what is the behind the scenes? I really got that from this interview. And then he really took us along the journey of going into the show Power. He started out as like a co-star. Now he's like a main character in the show.
Fire, what about you?
For me, I felt like it was the struggle. And I say struggle in like the nicest way possible because my man was struggling when he first got to LA. And now he's riding around getting in the Bentley and is on one of the biggest shows in the world. So I think just kind of hearing about his story and how I feel like everyone talks about LA in their acting career as like this glamorous ass thing. But in reality, people be out here like really genuinely struggling. So I think that was probably the biggest thing for me.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, let's get to it. Here is Gianni Paolo.
Welcome back to TMZ Verified. I'm Steph.
I'm Wild.
I'm Isaac.
And I'm Gianni.
Podcaster, actor, all of the things. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
And not just like podcast actor, guys. This is Brayden from Power. Like Brayden from freaking people in the office were losing their minds, brother.
There was a bit of commotion when they found out you were coming in.
I love that. I love that. We got some Power fans in here.
But wait, tell us about like how you got into the Power universe. Because I feel like everybody's trying to get on Power.
It's my entire DMs are. How do I get on Power? So I literally was like, I need to make a podcast. About it. But I originally was just a co-star in season 5. I was 2 scenes in 1 episode. And then I just, added a ton of myself in there. I improvised a little bit. This is a short story, but they brought me back for season 6 because they really liked me. They wrote me a whole storyline. And then they liked me again. So then they're like, you and Tariq have a spinoff together.
Right.
So I'm like, wow, this literally came from 2 scenes. Now I'm one of the leads of the show.
I know you were on like the flagship Power show, and then you obviously are now on the spinoff. But tell us about you and Tariq or Michael Rainey Jr.'s relationship. Because I heard you talk about it on another interview you did, but it was like you guys weren't cool at all at first.
Yeah, it's not that we weren't cool, but like as a co-star, you come in and he was there for 5 years. So it's a family already together. And then there's just this, it's like a stepbrother like getting adopted. You're like, what's this about? You know what I mean? So you come in and I was just there to do my stuff and then leave. And we didn't really converse. We didn't really have any conversation. We did our lines and then that was it. And then when I came back for season 6, I forgot how we really became close, but he said something. He was talking about cars and then I said something. We were talking about a girl and we were like,
are we best friends now?
Yeah. Literally.
So we can vibe after all.
Literally. And then we just went out together every night since then after work, like everything. So.
And now you have a podcast together.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah,
it's new.
It's called, our first episode dropped Tuesday this week and it's number 1 right now on TV and film podcast.
Wow.
So it's it.
It's literally like behind the scenes of the show. Like if you're a fan of that show, watching this is like behind the scenes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a whole universe. There's going to be 4 shows. So it's like, why? And the original Power. So why would we not have a recap? They used to do Power Confidential, but that's not a thing anymore. So me and Michael are like, we got to take over. So we're going to recap, all the spinoffs, every show, episodes. We'll talk to actors from the original Power, from all the new shows. So
brilliant.
Yeah, we're excited.
Awesome.
How much are you like your character Brayden on the show? Like, are you rough, secretly known on the side, like slick shit on the side? Or are you just...
I mean, we are very similar because that's how Brayden happened. He was actually written as like this, white asshole character that nobody really liked. He was like a rich kid.
Right.
And luckily, the director that we had for my first episode let me improv a lot and do what I wanted. So I
Which never
it.
Happens, never, especially like ever, as a new actor. No.
Ever. So yeah, they just let me kind of play with it. And I added a lot of my own stuff that I wanted, a lot of who I am, a lot of my high comedy stuff, because he was never written as funny. And they just ran with it. They're like, oh, we know how to write for him. Mm. And then plus there's a lot of collaborative stuff, like I'll put in my own jokes. So it's a lot of me in Brayden.
So you
know?
Kind of got to create that character for yourself.
Yeah, it's really cool. Not a lot of people can say that they were able to do that, but it was just kind of an on-the-fly thing, you know?
How'd you get into acting? Because I know you were a hockey player.
Yeah.
How'd you get into the acting world?
I was really young. I was like 10 or 11, and I was always the entertainer in the locker room. I was making everyone laugh. I was making the adults laugh, and the kids didn't understand my jokes, and they were like, what did you just say? So that was just always the way that I was, and I just always knew I wanted to do it. In the back of my mind, I was like, I just want to, you know, be an entertainer, be in acting, have fun. And hockey was just becoming a grind and I didn't want to do it anymore. So when I was 19, on my 19th birthday, I literally got in a car. I dropped my whole entire life, didn't play hockey anymore. And I drove cross country.
Wow.
From where to Los Angeles?
From Rhode Island. Actually, we drove straight to Vegas without stopping one time.
What?
Yeah.
Oh. How many hours is that?
I don't even know. It was like 36 or something like that. It was me and my older brother. We would just switch. But yeah, it was pretty crazy. My parents were like, what are you doing? They did not. My dad thought we would be home in, you know, 2 months, this and that. I originally told him, I was like, we're going to LA to rehab my shoulder for hockey. I didn't tell him that I was going to be an actor.
Oh.
But my mom knew.
Oh, sweet.
Speaking of your family, your guys' TikToks kill me. They kill me.
Everyone did it during COVID. And so I was in high school, I was maybe 14 years old, and I would post Snapchat to my family. And the weirdest thing happened. I like blew up on Snapchat before there was any Discover anything.
Yeah,
it was
just
word of mouth. So people would go to, you know, when people started going to college or the upperclassmen, they would tell their friends about it. So like I had the whole University of Colorado Boulder was like following my Snapchat because my family was just insane. So then now TikTok, it just goes so viral. I just post what my dad does anyway.
I was about to say,
is that how they are always?
Insane. They're insane people. My mom's actually out here right now and my dad's coming in Friday.
It's like, oh, came here.
Yeah.
She brought
it. Yeah, we should postpone this interview.
Yeah, literally.
We're like, we'll cut till she can come.
So wait, less serious question. Are the sisters sliding your DMs now? Like, because I feel like you are... No, it's serious. You are like the young Tommy. Like, do you have the Tommy effect? Are you getting the white chocolate DMs?
Yeah, I'm getting everything. I ain't mad at it, you know?
What's the dating life look like for you?
I don't know. I'm not really like, I'm not a girlfriend kind of guy.
No.
I'm just, I'm very career driven and I got a lot going on. So I don't want to be responsible for someone else's happiness. Like, I'm just like, I'm doing my own thing. I'll go out and have fun, but like, that's kind of where it ends.
Do you believe in astrology at all?
No, I'm so sorry.
Steph's like, here we go.
She's like, okay.
No,
let's
I looked
get
at your
going.
Chart before you came, and you have a Gemini Venus, which means that you're not like the relationship kind of guy.
Oh, so that's like a But here's the thing. You could have said that I was an Aquarius and I lied about my birthday and you would have been like, I see that you're not a relationship guy. Like, they always make it work for the
all
narrative,
right,
in my
right,
opinion.
Right.
So what have you been doing since you've been in LA? You're not seriously dating anyone, mm-hmm. but are you just trying to figure it out? What are you doing outside of like the acting and shit like that?
I don't know. That's really like, I just love doing that. I'm doing a lot of writing and pitching my own shows, development and stuff like that. A lot of podcast stuff. Like, entertainment really just makes me happy. It's what drives me. So I love doing all of it. You know, I did a lot of podcast producing before, you know, for a lot of comedians. I've been helping them with their social media. Is that something that I've been successful with? So a lot of comedians right now, that they just call me and they're like, hey, can you help me with my TikTok? I'm like, yeah, okay. So I'll literally be on set like filming a scene and I'm like posting TikToks for comedians and stuff like that. But I really do love it. Like, it is kind of like a little rush when you post something and then it's like 15 million views and you're like, yeah. Like, you see it going up. Keep going.
Oh, I want to know about the process of learning lines, how you memorize them. What's it like on set?
It's actually, I know there's other shows like, you know, I have a friend on Shameless and I remember hearing something that they weren't allowed to bring their sides even to set. Ooh. I was like, that's crazy. Like in between takes, we're like, oh, okay. What was it? or we'll like, even during the take, we're like yelling like, line.
Someone would be like that, right?
That's what I pictured. Mm-hmm.
But me, I'm not like that. I need to be off book the night before. Like I need to... I'll FaceTime my little brother and we'll just run lines together, do the scene like four or five times.
Yeah, I respect that.
Yeah. And then I just go to work the next day and it's already in my head and we're in it. But
so it comes natural.
Yeah, but my co-star, like Michael, he has been on the show since he was 11 years old. Mm. So he will literally go, okay, got it. And then he'll do the whole scene and it's like two pages. I'm like, what?
That just blows my mind.
Yeah, that's insane.
That is the coolest thing.
So wait, have you got to meet 50 Cent?
Yeah.
50. Okay, and what is 50 like? Like, is he as crazy as he seems on the internet?
He's a sweet guy. Like, a lot of people say he's, you
Everyone
know,
actually says that 50 Cent is a sweet dude, though.
Yeah, like, he really is. Like, he directed one of my first episodes in season 6, and that was a trip. Like, his first episode of television ever he directed was with us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was pretty crazy. Like, someone you've looked up to your entire life is directing an episode, you know, he's a legend. But yeah, he really is just a sweet guy. He's a troll, but like for the right reasons, because he wants to promote his stuff.
Right.
Conveniently trolling.
Yeah, yeah. It's like when you see him start getting in a beef with someone on Instagram, you're like, I'll go and look. I'm like, he has a show coming out. And then I'll go look at the schedule. I'm like, yep, BMF, mm-hmm. season yep. 2, 1 month.
Like,
I'm
tracks.
Like, yep, here it goes.
Would you say that you're going to be excited to work with other celebrities? Like, which ones are you dying to work with?
On Power or just in general?
I mean, can you give us the next team's exclusive of any celebs?
I don't think there's anyone crazy, you know, because obviously in Power we had like Kendrick come in for an episode.
Right.
We have that luxury because it's so ingrained in hip-hop culture. Like, everybody watches Power, so they all want to be on it. But I don't think we have anyone crazy on the for season 3. As far as I know, you know, all I haven't seen anything.
Do you feel like it's tough to stay like grounded as a young person because you went from like smaller roles to now you're in this huge fucking series on Starz? You're driving around in your fancy ass Bentley, which we saw you. Like, is it hard to
He's
be like
finally
right,
someone
right.
mentions a Bentley.
He's like, God. Thank you.
I literally told Cam before I got it, I was like, you better shoehorn Bentley in this conversation.
No, we got you. But is it hard though? Like, do you find it difficult to just stay grounded in the craziness?
Honestly, not at all, because I when I moved out here, I was, you know, catering. I was homeless at one point. I got my car repossessed. So I was struggling so hard. So I'm so grateful for everything that has happened, because I worked for it and nothing was handed to me. You know, maybe it would have been different if I just got here and it's like, oh, cool. But like, I struggled in acting class for like 4 or 5 years. I grinded. Really? So I'm just so grateful of everything that I've gotten because I knew I worked for it.
Right. And how's your family with support?
But the Bentley's cool.
He's like, but Bentley.
How's your family with support? Like, when you said you came out, your dad knew, but your mom didn't.
Yeah.
What was that first?
My dad originally hated it, and then because they put a lot of time and, you know, into hockey. And then when I said that I didn't want to do that anymore, he was pretty pissed. And then he was on a red carpet with 50 Cent, and he changed his tune real quick.
Yeah. He's like, actually,
yeah,
he's
like,
fine.
This is cool.
He's like, you can keep going.
I know Power's going really well right now, but do you have a dream role that you're manifesting right now, looking forward to in the future?
I always like was against superhero stuff, but I'm like at the point where I'm like, just give me an Avenger so I can get that second Bentley. You know what I mean?
Right. I can see you as like a Marvel superhero.
Yeah,
dude.
The hair slick back. Totally. Yeah.
No, honestly, like Power's every. The way I look, I always make this joke where it's like, I look like I should be on a vampire show. Like, right? You know what I mean? I should be on a vampire
show.
I'm like pale.
Yeah. but I get to, you know, be on Power and sell drugs and, you know, shoot. It's just like, it's such a cool experience that I didn't think I would ever really get to do. So starting off there, I'm already doing everything that I was excited about. And now it's kind of going the other way. Like, okay, what'll challenge me? What'll be like fun? Like, I want to do like A24 and do some, you know, indie projects and actually show people my range and like, because I really, you know, I am on social media a lot. I'm funny on this and that. I'm on TikTok and crazy, but like I love acting. Like, I'm a dedicated actor, so I want to show people what I can do. You
Are
know?
You allowed to do that while you also have Power going on?
I had a A24 project last year that I was going to do, but it didn't work out with scheduling. As long as scheduling works out, I can.
So there's no like…
Yeah, but because of, you know, the pandemic, we've had really only 2 or 3 months of hiatus in 3 seasons, which is crazy.
See, that's what I want to know. What is a day like at filming? You get there, what time? Break it down for us.
Every day is different. So Monday morning, we'll usually start at 5 a.m. because you can only film a certain amount of hours. So then if you go until this time, the next day, everyone can't come in until 8. And then the next day, everyone can't come in until 10.
Okay.
So by the end of the week, you're getting picked up at 5 o'clock in the evening. And then you're going until 5 o'clock in the morning because it's Saturday.
Oh.
And then no one works on Sunday. So Monday morning, 5 a.m. pickup, get to work, you know, chill in your dressing room for a little bit, eat breakfast, and then go to hair and makeup, go to set. You guys will block out the scene with the director, whatever. And then, you change into your costume and then you just do it. And then we're doing 4 or 5 scenes a day. And then we wrap and then go home, run my lines, and the next same thing next day.
many times will you go over a scene, film a scene? Like,
honestly, it depends on the director. We have a new director every episode.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, some directors will like to do a lot of takes. Some directors are like, we got it, that's it and that. Some directors are very visual and some directors are very actor heavy, performance heavy. So honestly, every day is different, which I do like because you get a different energy every time. It's, you don't get stagnant or bored, you know?
Right. Yeah. Do you have a favorite episode that you guys have filmed so far that really sticks in your head?
Yeah, I would say probably, I believe
you knew
it was,
right away.
Yeah. It was like 205, I think. And I had a bunch of scenes where I was like robbing jewelry stores. We like shot up a trap house. Like it was really cool. It was everything I've ever wanted
to do.
It's
like my most violent scene.
Yeah. But wait, season three, I have a favorite episode. It's pretty crazy.
So wait, why do you think that Power has been so successful? Like you guys have the flagship show and then you have the spinoffs. Like why is the fan base so loyal, you think?
I just think it hits on the culture so perfectly. Like hip hop, streetwear, like it's just... I just love how it's just fun. Like it's drug dealing, but like it's just such a fun world. And I know it can be dark at times when you watch the show, but there's just no like anything with it other than it's just a fun show that people like to watch. It's not like something that it's really going to make you think, but it's just like, no, it's just like, I like watching it.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the comparisons to Snowfall? I feel like you guys often kind of get put in that same...
Category,
yeah.
Listen, okay. You guys are trying to get some clickbait. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Honestly, I tried to watch Snowfall and I actually know some people like a part of that show. I can't get into it. Mm. And that's the only show that I watch. I like crime, drug dealing, all that stuff. I can't get into it. I can get into my show pretty easily. So that's all I'm going to say about that.
If someone hasn't seen Power, how would you describe it to somebody? Or why should they watch Power over Snowfall or something different?
It's just like a fun modern story of like a kid in college dealing drugs. Like, and yeah.
And it's relatable.
Yeah, it's relatable. It's just not, and it's not going to be too crazy, this and that. It's just a lot of, it's fun. Like you put it on and people are excited and the story's very engaging and Every time an episode airs, they're just like, and sometimes I'll go like, oh, this is like a slower episode. Like it needs to be a lot of exposition. And then at the end of the episode, people are like, we need the next one already. I'm like, they thought that one was that? I was like, everyone just loves every episode. So for those 10 weeks, people just go crazy.
Totally off the chain, but how's Mary J. Blige?
She's the best.
I just love, like, I love Mary J. Blige. Yeah. That's totally unrelated to anything. I mean, I know she's on the show, but like, Mary J. Blige.
She's the best.
I was about to say, is she like the sweetest woman in the world? Because my heart is always
like... Me and her have a great relationship. Like for the first season, she just called me Brayden. I would see her in the makeup trailer and she'd just go, hey, Brayden. But then now like we've got a good rapport. Like I'll see her in the morning. She'll come give me a hug. She'll come to my trailer. So, but we honestly haven't filmed that much together. So I don't see her often. We used to do table reads in person, but since, you know, the pandemic, we don't.
Do you feel like you get starstruck though? Because Power has a lot of like guest stars that are huge in like hip hop and the culture. Like, is that ever?
I don't know. I used to, but not really anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of sad because I like when I used to, but now I'm just like, oh, cool. Like,
he's like, I'm used to it.
I'm kind of sad.
I know. I'm like, I want that feeling again.
You're
you know?
Becoming big time. You don't get embarrassed anymore. Yeah.
Where's my Bentley? No, I'm kidding.
This is like a cliche question that I feel like I ask all the time. Most embarrassing thing that's happened to you on set, maybe?
On set? I remember the first day I met Method Man, we were at a table read and I had a fork in my hand. And I would just remember there was a lot going on and I had a plate of food and, you know, I had a fork in my hand and I didn't know he was on the show yet because nobody announced it. It was like a surprise. So I saw him at the table read. I was like, oh my God. And I went to go dap him up and I had the fork in my hand still and I stabbed him.
Oh, are you kidding?
Yeah. That was the first time I ever met Method Man. And then, so the next episode table read, I went up to him and I was like, bro, I'm so sorry about that. Like, he's like, what are you talking about? So
he didn't
even like remember. And I was just like, this is just not
going
well.
You're like, well, that's why I can't sleep for a week straight. You don't even remember it.
I'm never going to be Wu-Tang after this. I'm like, damn it.
Oh my God.
Do you want to see Brayden get like even more gritty and dirty? I know you said you had a crazy scene in season three, but like, what are your hopes for your character?
Yeah, I just want him to keep getting darker and darker because that's like the fun stuff. But I also do love doing the comedy because that's me. But you will see that. Like, I think every season he's just going to get darker and darker and we'll just see where he ends up. Mm-hmm. Hopefully not dead.
other than season 3, what's coming up for you that maybe no one knows about?
That's it. Power's my life. I haven't been able to do anything else.
Power.
Just Power. And the Crew Has It podcast, which we talk power. So I was like saying, if power's going to be my life, I'm just going to go for it.
You might as well just fucking fire up and keep
I haven't
going.
Been able to do anything else, so…
Are you guys going to have guests on your podcast, you think, from the show?
Yeah, our next episode that comes out next week. This is a TMZ exclusive. It's Alex LaPree. She plays
Effie. Okay.
She'll be our first guest. And we have some pretty crazy OG power guests that are coming on. So every episode will probably be a guest unless we're like recapping an episode.
It's so smart. It's almost like if you watch the show, you can literally go to your podcast after and get like another recap of the episode.
There's the inside scoop.
There's literally. Like 100+ actors from like…
Yeah, it's crazy.
And then there's going to be 40 episodes. A season that we can recap. So it's like there's so much stuff to talk about.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
So you and Michael Rainey Jr. are cool now. Like y'all are like BFFs. I see y'all together all the time, brother. But I didn't know if it was like a, you know, how the celebrities kind of like hang out conveniently.
Yeah.
All right, but y'all are cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's literally like we hang out every day. Like, and we will post stuff, but like a lot of times it's just me and him. Like no one posts anything. Like we're just playing Xbox. Like that's how close we've gotten.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Which I love because I just get to go to set and work with my best friend.
And like literally your best friend's on set and your best friend's in real life.
Immediately we get to set and we just go to each other's dressing room. And like sometimes he'll just come in my dressing room. We won't even say anything. We'll just sit on the couch for like 20 minutes on our phones and he'll go, all right, I gotta go to hair makeup. I was like, okay, cool. Like it's great because, you know, everyone's worked with people they don't like.
So does Tariq get a car in season 3? Because we always see him running around. He late to everything. Like, what's going on? Like, why my man always on foot?
I guess we'll see. I don't know. I haven't read those scripts yet.
How soon do you guys know what the hell is going to happen in the next season, though? Like, do they tell you all the day of, the month of? Like, when do you get…
They'll give you, like, a character arc at the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. Like, the showrunner…
Explain a character arc for people who don't know what that is. Because I don't actually know what that is.
The showrunner will call you and go, this is where Brayden starts. We see him at the beginning of 301. He goes through this, and this, and this. And then this is where we see him at the end. But a lot of times, they won't tell you if you're dying. So
really?
You'll get your character arc. And then all of a sudden, there's like this known walk, which I don't know if they do it anymore. I think it's a phone call now because of the pandemic. But they'll call you into the office and you walk. And there's all the power posters of all the seasons. And you walk into the showrunner's office and you just sit there and they look at you and go,
Damn. It's like, it's your time.
Yeah. And then they give you flowers. They give you, at the end, like a funeral.
Oh, so they have a funeral.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool.
Have you ever read a script and been like, oh, I don't want to do that?
Not really with power. I have before, just in general. But everything that they've given me, I've been like, oh, yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
But, I mean, I just want to get more into the, you know, the street stuff, which is what I love. So some scripts I'll get and I go, oh, I got to go do like family stuff or I got to do this. And I'm like, damn it.
You're like, oh.
Yeah, I'm not killing anyone. Like, come on. Like,
so is your family still at home back in Rhode Island?
Yeah. So me and my brothers live together in LA.
Oh, that's
all fine. Three of us live together. And then my parents live back in Rhode Island still.
Cool. You all live together in one house?
Yeah.
Okay.
In LA. And then when I'm filming in New York, I live alone, which I hate, but.
Okay.
Because there's always so much going on in LA and then you get home to…
Right, we talked about this. You hate New York.
And you go to New York and you're just like, oh my God.
You don't like New York?
I've actually been liking it more the past like month because I've been having so much fun. I've been busy. Like we'll go to club hostings on the weekend. So we'll fly somewhere.
Right.
And then I just go back to work. But if like I'm sitting around for more than 6 hours in New York in my apartment on like a Saturday, I'm like, oh my God, I need to get out of here.
Because you filmed the show in New York.
Yeah.
So do you think you'll stay in LA or do you think you'll eventually move to New York for the show?
Bury me in the valley. I love LA. I will live here my entire life. I'll go film wherever, but LA is my vibe. I found the place where I want to live. It's just always beautiful. Like, I just love being here.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
So I know you and Michael Rainey Jr., you launched 22 Entertainment. Yeah. Other than the podcast, like what else are you guys working on right now?
We got a series in production right now that we're starting to develop. We also got a film that we're doing. So we got everything.
Okay.
Yeah. We're merch. Like we're doing it all.
So when can we expect the series? When can we expect the movie? Are you guys, where are you at in the process?
We're like, I mean, it's still like, I would say a year away from, you know, filming. We're doing rewrites, this and that. But like, we got a lot of stuff in production that we're super excited about. We signed a deal with Kenan Thompson's company. So yeah, he's just been super supportive and been helping us a lot with the podcast, this and that. So he's a great role model to look up to because he's such a veteran, like 20 years on SNL. Yeah. He's been through everything. So I just, anytime I need anything, I call him. I'm like, well, you know, and he's like a good guy. So he's been helping us a lot.
How important is that for you, like, as a, not only as an actor, but as a creator, to just be this early in your career and already kind of, like, taking ownership of shit? Like,
yeah.
Is that important for you? Was it just kind of something you fell into?
Like, I think it's the most important thing, because you could be an actor on a series for 10 years and all of a sudden, you know, you die or the show
ends.
And, then you're like, okay, what next?
And then they walk you down the hallway to give you your flowers.
And you're like, what next? I'm unemployed. And all of a sudden, your Bentley's getting repossessed. No, but, like, I just think, like, that's key, is just creating your own opportunities and putting it in your hands. And right now, it's so easy to do it yourself. Before, it never was. And now, like, we could start a podcast. We could do this. We could do it all on our own. We don't need a studio. We don't need this. We don't need that to tell us we can do something. So I just want to solidify everything now while Power is going on, and then, you know, drive into the sunset.
Yeah, because it seems like you're really into the creative process.
I love it.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Has that changed your relationship with Michael? Going to a career?
No, it just honestly has just made us way closer. Like, every single new project we do, we just get way closer and just learn more about each other, you know? We don't have a relationship where we're very, you know, we're honestly, like, very push and pull, like, easygoing with each other, which is why I think we work so well. And I'm also very, like, high energy, and he's, like, very chill. So we just, like—
Even on a podcast, though, you're, like, very high energy. Yeah. He's like, yeah, you know.
That's just, like, the way that we are, and it's the way that we are on the show, too. So it's just such a perfect dynamic that we have.
Do you feel like you made it?
You know, that's such, like, a weird— Like, I don't know. I don't feel like I made it, but I feel like I did what I set out to do, like, when I came to LA. Like, I wanted to get on a show, and I wanted to be a successful actor, and that's where I feel like I am now. I don't think I made it to be where I want to be and where I know I'm going to be. That would be, like, making it when I'm, like, sitting in my Mark Wahlberg, like, 100%.
I was going to say, so what does making it look like for you?
It's honestly, in my mind, I don't think I'll ever think I made it. Because I'm always the type of person that's like, the next thing. So, especially as an actor, like, I still talk to, you know, people like Octavia, people like who have done such huge things, and they're still like, I wonder when the next thing's coming. You know what I mean? Like, every actor still, even at that level, goes through all of this. So,
I think that's life.
Yeah.
You know, that's, like, for everyone.
And I feel like if you feel like you made it, that's, like, the kiss of death, because you're like, I did it. What, you know what I mean?
Kind of get content.
Yeah.
Get a little lazy. Yeah.
And I'm just always hungry, and I love doing it. So I don't feel like I'll ever feel like that.
But. So you brought up Octavia. How was Ma?
Oh.
Filming
that,
Ma.
That was one of the best experiences.
I was
about to
say, I really liked
it. It was so scary.
Yeah. We had the time of our lives. The director had a house out there, and he owned the one next door too. So they were just, like, two mansions, and everyone was
Where was it?
In Mississippi. We filmed in Mississippi.
That's cool.
So we stayed in the houses, and then they built a house that was Ma's house, like, right down the street.
Oh,
so right when we wrapped, we would literally just go to the director's house. Everyone, you know, Juliette Lewis, Luke Evans, Missy Pyle, Allison Janney, everyone would just eat together, and at the end of the night, and you know, the director Tate would just make a ton of food, and we'd all just hang out, like, get drunk, dance, party until, like, the sun comes up, and then you're
sounds
out.
Like a Mississippi vibe.
Yeah, right.
It was so much fun. Like,
how long were you filming for?
We did, like, a month and a week, and then we came back and did reshoots for, like, 2 weeks. But then it was right around Thanksgiving, and he has, like, a huge Thanksgiving every year.
Yeah.
So I just stayed for an extra week and a half, and then had Thanksgiving with them.
So like, sorry, Mom, sorry, Dad.
Yeah, literally. The first time I ever saw Godfather was with Octavia. We watched all the movies. We started right after dinner at, like, 7. We watched all the movies until, like, 5 a.m.
That is awesome.
It's pretty cool.
So was Octavia Spencer partying with you
you
guys?
She's
getting down?
She's like, the biggest one. She's got a little margarita.
He's like, she was rallying everyone.
Wait, what's the one with wine and the cut up apples and stuff in it?
Oh.
Martini?
Yeah. Sangria. She got a sangria after set.
Saying martini.
Always martini. Never a bad time.
Is she just chopping it up, telling stories about
everything,
yeah, the stuff like that.
Everything. She gave us a lot of, like, business insight, but I still talk to her, like, almost every other day. Like,
really?
Yeah, we still text each other. She sent me a screenshot the other day of Marlon Brando, and she's like, "You got to do this."
You really look just like him.
Yeah. So,
oh my god, you just blew my mind.
When you see that, like, coming up, you're like, "That's pretty cool."
No.
Wait, you actually look just like him. Thinking about it now. Wow.
He's like, "Why do you think she texted me?"
No, I know.
So they hit you up for the movie. Would you do it?
Oh, 1,000%. That's something that I want to, you know, get in motion and just keep putting out there. But yeah, I would love to do that. That'd be such a cool experience. You get to play one of the best actors of all time.
It'd be no pressure, dude.
Yeah, it'd be a pretty heavy, like, you know, thing. But I think I'd crush it.
Is filming a movie like Ma scary when you're filming?
it's so funny because I thought, like, obviously I read the script, so I knew what happened. Mm-hmm. But if you didn't tell me it was a horror movie, I didn't read the script, I would literally think that we were making a high school, like, dramedy until the last scene. Because if you look at my scenes, everyone is me partying, smoking this, that, yeah, just having fun, uh-huh, being an idiot. And then the scene at the end for me is us obviously all getting killed. Yeah, uh-huh. So for like 3 weeks, I'm like, we're literally filming. Like, this isn't what it is on the page. But then you watch a movie and you're like, oh, I see. Like, there's all other scenes not having to do with me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
If you weren't acting outside of hockey, obviously, yeah, what would you be doing, do you think?
I don't know. I think about that a lot. I can't imagine seeing myself doing anything else. Yeah. Like, I just can't. And I try and think, like, I don't know, maybe I'd do business or something. But I don't think I would. I'm doing everything that I ever wanted to do, so.
Yeah, I feel that.
Would you ever do stand-up comedy?
I did. I did stand-up for 2 years.
What? We got to find those
out
videos.
Here in LA.
Please get rid of those. Yeah, in LA.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like comedy.
Yeah, I would do a lot of, like, the ha-ha open mics. I would go to Flappers. You know, I did all that, the whole circuit. You know, you go to random bars, you go to this and that. We're doing open mics. But I just didn't love how you just literally tell the same story. Sometimes you go to 3 sets a night and you're telling the same 15 minutes. And I'm like, I'll tell something on a podcast before and I'm like, people don't want to hear this again. Like, I'll just, you know, so that it just wasn't my vibe. I just like acting because you get like new stuff. And that's why I don't know if I could ever do Broadway because I'm like, these guys do the show for 6 months
straight.
The same
show, yeah. Uh-huh.
Twice a day. So I'm like, that's a lot.
So what are you doing with the rest of your summer?
I'm going to be filming Power until probably end of July. And then back out here, just, you know, podcast stuff. Hopefully we get some type of real hiatus this time and mm-hmm. I can do with other projects. But everything's up in the air. Like, they could tell us we need to come back right away. Like, I just don't know what the future holds, but I kind of like that.
So you're not in New York the entire time filming. You'll come back to LA.
Literally
back
the second they tell us we're done, I'm like, but when
like,
am
get
I?
Get me out of here.
I'm done July 15th at 6 p.m. Put me on the 7 p.m. flight back. Like, I get back immediately. Just because all my friends are here. Like, Michael grew up in Staten Island. So when he's not filming, he just lives
go to
his
home.
Life.
Yeah, yeah.
You ever get to go home with him?
Yeah, I kick it at his house all the time, but like, because all his friends live there. Mm-hmm. But he'll wake up and go to his normal breakfast, but he does his routine when he's not working. Like me, when I'm not working, I'm just like, okay, I'm just like in this city that I don't live in with none of my friends. You know what I mean?
Where's your apartment?
It's in like Lower East Side.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are all your New York stans going to be mad at you?
Me?
I actually post on my Instagram story a lot. I'm like, I can't take New York. It's like,
I know, a lot of my friends who knew you were coming in today who are living in New York City, they're not going to be happy.
Yeah,
I'm
I know.
Like,
I'm like,
the views may drop.
So when can we expect season 3?
I don't
can
know.
Can you tell us an idea?
I think it's going to be somewhere around November. That's uh-huh. always kind of what it usually has been. But I don't know. You never know because they have other shows that they want to promote and do this and
kinda,
that.
Yeah.
But the best one is ours. It'll probably be out around, I'm thinking like September or October. Yeah, probably November.
Are you a producer or EP?
On the show?
Yeah.
No, but hopefully.
Do you know how that happens? Is that just a conversation?
It's so funny because I did read an interview where, what's his name who is on Snowfall, the lead of that?
Damon Idris?
Yeah, he became a producer on Snowfall after like 6 or 7 seasons. So maybe I'll have that conversation
soon.
Yeah,
it always seems like when it hits 3,
you like
50.
I don't know,
yeah.
But
yeah,
and Cam now planted the seed.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
They're you like, thanks a lot.
They didn't give this man his flowers.
Yeah. I want to
direct flowers.
Like the other one.
I want to direct an episode, so I want to like kind of do that first, and then go, okay, now the producing thing. But yeah, hopefully not next. Maybe like season 5. I'm hoping they let me direct an episode.
All right, cool, cool. Yeah.
Right, we'll wait for that.
Kind of like a wrap-up question. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Still doing Power? No, I don't know. Still doing the same thing that I love every
day. I mean,
day.
Power like, will probably definitely be on in 5 years. Yeah. You got a job, brother. Uh-huh. Like,
it's crazy. Yeah, yeah. It's crazy how long. Like, they just wanted to go for it. Well, Power never ends. That's.
Are you going to audition for, like, movies and stuff?
Yeah, 100%. Okay. Yeah, that's the goal, is I want to do movies on my off time and then come back and do Power.
I really want to see you in an A24 film now.
Yeah. I know I booked one and then it didn't work out and I was so heartbroken because that was like my dream. It was like my background on my phone for like a year and then I got it. I was like, yes. And then
it's that manifestation.
Manifestation. I know.
I'm all about
baby.
That.
Mm-hmm. So am I. It's like my Bible.
Bread and butter.
What year was your first year on Power?
December of 2018, I filmed my first episode. And then it came out in May of 2019.
Yeah. Was there a moment that you felt like, holy
shit, my life changed? Or like you felt famous or you felt like people were, was it like in a grocery store or on the street?
I feel like it's all been pretty gradual because like I got introduced to Power a little bit and then I went and I did Ma and then I did red carpets and this and that. But like once Ghost aired, it became a little crazy in New York City, like hard to walk to the gym in the morning anymore and like stuff like that because it's such a New York show. So everyone in New York watches it. Like you walk down the street and they're like, but I still have never like kind of felt that. Sometimes when we go to like clubs and we'll do bookings and hostings, the people will go insane. I'm like, this is crazy. Like me and Michael will look at each other and go, this is wild. Mm-hmm. Like they're going this crazy for us. So, but it's never like a thing like, yeah, I'm famous now. Like I just don't, that's not how I operate.
You're
just
except like, when I'm in my Bentley.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Except when I'm in my Bentley with my glasses on, I'm like, okay, I made it. But other than that, like, that's yeah.
What's the scariest fan encounter? Mm. Not scariest, but one
craziest.
One that you remember.
I haven't really had any. I mean, there is like a couple people who do like if I post somewhere, they'll show up. There's a group of the same people that you see. Like if you ever go to events, you're like, oh, that's the people that we always see. So one time I went to Machine Gun Kelly was hosting or the musical guest on SNL. Yeah. And I know a lot of, you know, his band and I'm friends with all them. So I went to the hotel afterwards where the after party was at. And I saw one of the people that do follow me around a lot. And so he was in the hotel, you know, as Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox were walking in and he like made eye contact with me, made eye contact with like Machine Gun Kelly and then walked to Machine Gun Kelly. And I was like, damn it, man. Like,
well, I guess I'm not famous anymore.
I was like, you're not throwing through.
Yeah, I was like, you were helping my ego. Now you really screwed me over here.
Well, don't worry. There's somebody in this building who loves you, brother. Loves you. I don't know if she's still in the room, but she was sweating when we said we had Gianni in the building.
That's awesome. I love that. I needed that after that, you know?
You had like a best fan encounter before, like where you're like, holy shit, I've impacted this person's life for...
I actually posted one on my Instagram like a month ago. I went to a Justin Bieber concert and...
Me too, and here in LA?
It was in New Jersey. Okay. Yeah. So, and we were like backstage and we walked out and the people in the audience were going, like in the stands were going crazy, like of all, because it was with like two other cast members and people were going nuts. Like while the concert was going on, they were going nuts. So then we went up on the stands where like the soundboard is. And there was this one girl who was like crying, like, please, 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 I want to take a picture. And I was like, yeah, of course. So I took a picture and I hugged her. And it cut before you actually saw it. But like, she literally started crying. She goes, oh my God. And I just remember being like, yeah, that's like wild. Like, and I literally captioned it like, just two Beliebers having a moment. Yeah. You know what I mean? I was like, just two Beliebers.
That's super cute.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Gianni.
Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Gianni Paolo, everybody. Make some noise, people in the room.
Woo!
I always say that. There's never a lot of people in the room. But yes, make some noise.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having
me. Make sure you guys listen to his podcast. Plug it.
Yes, the crew has it. We're number one on TV and film right now. So not a big deal.
Watch
season three.
Yeah, and watch season three.
Yep. And Power Book 2 Ghost. Yeah. Season 3 will be out sometime.
Yeah, sometimes
in
it's so
the
funny.
Future.
Yeah, I'll be like walking down the street and people are like, tell me when it's coming out. I'm like, control. They don't tell me anything.
All right, Gianni. Thanks for hanging with us, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for watching TMZ Verified. Make sure to like us and subscribe on our YouTube channel. And if you're listening to us on audio, make sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We got some great episodes coming up. We'll see you guys next time.